Welcome back to another edition of Inside Tiger Nation here on 104.3 The River. My name is Lee Bramlett. Coming up this week, we'll talk Breckenridge County Junior ROTC along with Fighting Tiger football player Riley Grant. But first, we talk with Breckenridge County Fighting Tiger football coach Brent Hoddle. The Tigers taking on Paducah Tillman Friday night in the first round of the Commonwealth Gridiron Bowl Class 4A playoffs. We'll get to the game against Tillman in just a couple of minutes. First, we will go back to the Edmondson County game. And Brent, when we last spoke with you, not only just looking at you, but also listening to you talk Friday night, you were a picture of frustration in regards to that Edmondson game. You've had a chance maybe to break down the tape a little bit. Second thoughts looking back on that game.
Yeah, it's just more disappointment. And because I don't feel like our kids kind of acquitted themselves to what they've done all year. And that's what we talked a lot about this week is, you know, when you're in a situation like that, I don't know if it was, like I said, I talked to the kids. I think it was, there were a lot of emotions involved in that senior night. I think a lot of them kind of got in a situation where that's what they could think about, that it was kind of in a finality of things and learning how to deal with those situations. And I think our kids kind of struggled with that a little bit. And coupled with, you know, the loss of Wyatt, whenever you have Wyatt gone for 2 weeks, and anytime you take away a player his caliber, you're going to have some issues. And we knew that going forward. We thought we were going to try to win that game 12-6, 12-8, something like that, you know, 14-7. It's going to have to be a close, low-scoring game just because, you know, we built our offense for 6-4, 215 that can sling it. And Chase did what he could out there, really proud of his effort, you know, but that's not the offense he's capable of running. And we're going to tweak some things this week to kind of do more things that we think he is kind of more in his wheelhouse and some things like that. But, yeah, just we were disappointed because, like I said, the kids have fought so hard this year to pull us out of kind of the doldrums there and win three and compete in all these games and do all these things. And it just was, you know, it's what I told them. I said, we're lucky because we made the playoffs. We got one more chance to kind of remedy that. But, like I said, just I was upset because they were more for the kids than I was for myself just because, you know, that was how their last game on Tiger Stadium went. Just that's not how you want to go out.
I want to talk about the defense because I get the sense in that remark a moment ago that was maybe a concern. Offensively, of course, you knew you had the rough hand having to replace Chase for Wyatt. It looked like they did a better job, especially in the heat of the moment from Grayson County. They did a little better job moving the ball. You were able to sustain a couple of drives. Now they stalled out. That was probably the downside of it. But again, for a team that has had to rely on Wyatt so much, they showed a little bit of improvement there.
Offensively, yeah, for sure. Like, I was pleased with what we did at certain times. You know, the first drive of the game, we get a couple of first downs. And then, you know, we knew it was going to be a field position game. And you talk about Lance. Lance booms one down there. Gage hustles his tail off and gets down there and downs at the three-yard line. So we thought that's how the game was going to be played. And to our defense's credit, it wasn't so much of, you know, we watched the film. Effort was there. It was more of just angles and things like that. And looking back, it's, you know, you have certain kids that we've had to bounce around. You know, once somebody gets hurt, you know, we're in a situation at our school, you know, we don't have a huge roster. You know, you got 40 kids. We've got 20 kids that are really playing on a Friday night. And, you know, when you get Q hurt, then this kid's got to move here. You get Wyatt hurt, you also lose your defensive end. So you got to move a kid down to play defensive end. And, you know, we don't have the luxury of having a kid say, you are a middle linebacker. You're going to play there for the next 4 months. A lot of times we have to bounce kids around. And you saw some issues with that. And our kids, they understood the game plan. They knew where they were going. But we just weren't able to quite get there. And you also have some kids that are still beat up. Zach Davis is playing on one leg. He's been playing on one leg for about 3 weeks now and doing what he can. But, you know, they're still fighting for us. And that's when we watched the film. The fight was there early, and it was almost – once we don't go score on that drive, it's 13-0, we drive it in the red zone. Once we don't score on that drive, kind of the air, kind of last little bit of air kind of gets sucked out of their lungs there and kind of struggle from there. And that's going to happen because Wyatt not only is your quarterback and your stat leader, he's also kind of – he was our kind of alpha dog and our emotional leader. And football, you got to have one of those. And I equated, you know, it's a lot like you know, when Trevor Dyer was playing that year, you know, if we would have lost Trevor for some of those weeks, who knows how that thing would have turned out. So it's one of those things when you got such a dominant figure, it's tough to bounce back. But our kids have had a great attitude this week, and I think we're going to kind of dive into the playoffs strong.
Individual performances, I guess we'll talk a little about Hudson's performance. We made him the player of the game. I believe he finished the night for you. I want to say 15 tackles. That may not be right. I'm just trying to go off the top of my head here. But another solid performance from him.
Yeah, Huddy, this back half of the season, has really started to get comfortable. I think 15, 16 tackles, something like that. He was flying around. And, you know, he's an undersized kid. He's a sophomore playing middle linebacker. But He has the aggression, the speed, the athleticism, you know, all those things you look for in a solid, awesome little linebacker at our level. And these last, like, four games, he's easily been our leading tackler, easily been our – he's kind of taken a leadership role of that defense. And just really proud of the step forward he's taken. And, you know, to only be a sophomore to be what he's doing right now against some pretty tough opponents, like you said, that we've played these last few weeks. We're only looking for huge things out of him in the future. And he and I have had already kind of – have talked about this week and the future and next year and things like that, what we expect from him. And he's got a big opportunity to be a huge kind of cog in what we do for the next few years here.
And that future is Friday night, starting with the game against Paducah Tillman. We'll talk more about that game in just a moment. Coming up in the next segment, we will talk with Breckenridge County Fighting Tiger football player Riley Grant as Inside Tiger Nation continues on this Wednesday afternoon here on 104.3 The River. Welcome back to Inside Tiger Nation. Lee Brandlip with you on this Wednesday afternoon, joined by Breckenridge County student athlete. Take a second and introduce yourself to everybody.
My name is Riley Grant. I'm a senior here at Breckenridge County. We're number 62, and I'm a lineman.
Riley, talk about how the season has gone thus far.
You know, it's definitely not what we wanted to come out with a losing record, but I'm really appreciative of the last three wins, and it's great to get it done with my team.
Talk a little bit about what you've gotten as an individual player out of this season.
You know, it's my first year back. I didn't have the connection that these guys had for the past 3 years, but I'm glad that they've really comforted me and become one of my teammates and one of my friends. And you know, we've just grown such a good connection over the year, and I'm glad that we had it.
Talk about the one thing maybe you're most proud of when you look back on the regular season.
I would say had to be the fight. I mean, you know, we had really close matches. Hancock County, John Harden, Jefferson Town, all really good teams, and we almost came out of it. So I'm glad that we had a big fight this year, and definitely a lot more than what I saw last year with the 0-10 team. So I'm glad that we had a lot of improvement and showed a better outcome.
All right, Riley, talk a little bit about what's coming up Friday night. You get to take on Paducah Tillman. What do you feel like you need to do as an individual to get ready for that game coming up?
You know, they're a top-10 team, really good ball club in Kentucky. We just need to watch some film. You know, they have a lot of similarities to what we see in the regular season. We just need to watch our film, see what they do, and, you know, just give 110%.
Very good then, Riley. As always, thanks for the time and best of luck coming up Friday night.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Riley Grant with us at Inside Tiger Nation, which continues in just a moment here on 104.3 The River. Welcome back to Inside Tiger Nation on this Wednesday afternoon. Lee Bramlett with you. We're now going to talk about the Junior ROTC. Something, if you have been to Breckenridge County sporting events, you have seen the color guards, a nice addition to both the football and basketball games this year. Take a second. I guess we'll talk to the man in charge of everything. First off, take a second. Introduce yourself to everybody.
Well, Lee, thanks for having us. I'm Major Retired Justin Frazier. I'm the Senior Army Instructor here at Breckenridge County High School. I also have Sergeant First Class Retired Chris Dunham, who is the assistant instructor. He also is the JV football coach and the offensive line coordinator for the BCHS Tigers.
So a little bit of similarity, or I guess similar there. We're going to be talking, I believe, Liam Clark is one of your cadets as well. We'll be talking with him here in just a couple of minutes as well. But take a second, for the folks who aren't familiar with it, talk a little bit about what the Junior ROTC program is and how does it serve the high school and, of course, I'm sure the Army in general.
So, Lee, simply stated, the Junior ROTC program, Junior Reserve Officer Training Corps, is designed to motivate young people to be better citizens. That is literally our mission statement. We don't think any young person is necessarily a bad citizen. What we tell them is everybody could be a better citizen, from the adults that support the program to the youth at Breckenridge County High School. A lot of the things that we focus on are life skills that, you know, parents probably teach very well, the schools try to, but we really run out of places to implement those skills in a classroom. So that's where JROTC comes in. Our program is designed to support the community. And we do that through teaching the students discipline, respect, both for themselves and everybody else, a lot of time management and managing your own equipment or materials, just as you would in any, you know, just about any corporate or business setting. And then lastly, we do community service and service learning events that are designed to improve the community, whether those are centered around veterans organizations, the local elementary schools, the library, whatever it might be.
2 years, I believe, now into the program here. Just talk about how the program has gone here this last 2 years? Has it met your expectations, starting really from scratch? But just talk about the road you've traveled here to bring this online here at the high school.
So, Lee, this is my first year as the senior instructor, and it's also Chris Dunham's first year as the assistant instructor. The last 2 years have been full-funded Army ROTC programs. 3 years ago, for these seniors who would have been freshmen at the time, it was what was called a National Defense Cadet Corps, which was not funded. They did get some equipment and things like that. Over the last 2 years, the school and the cadets have done an awesome job of putting together the basic tenets of JROTC: a color guard, a drill team, participating in school-funded or school-driven events. So this year, Chris and I set out to expand that into the community. That's where we really wanted to focus. Again, that's the root of the program, to motivate young people to be better citizens. So this year, we've really put it in overdrive, and we've increased threefold the size of our color guard as well as our drill team. So that's what most people are familiar with if they've seen this year's football games. I can't wait till basketball season because it's in an enclosed small space, and the spectators will really get to see the precision and panache that our cadets have. And then really this year we're picking up with the extracurricular events, which are really centered around physical fitness. The fall season this semester is all about what we call the Raider Challenge, and we can talk about that. We're going to pick up a three-position Olympic air rifle shooting team next semester. And then we also have a STEM, a science, technology, engineering, and math program that centers around robotics and drones. So a little less physical, a lot more mental, but we'll still have the kids outside and in, you know, in nature.
I want to talk about that Raider Challenge. I'll finish up with that for you here. But first, since you brought up the colors, coming from Hardin County, I'm a little more familiar with the protocol, I guess, and the etiquette, for lack of a better term. Folks here, it's still a learning process. Take a couple of seconds, because I've had even people ask me, what's the exact protocol? When people do see the color guard, of course, basketball coming up, but even in football, what is the proper procedure? When do they stand? How do they treat that? And then as far as what to do when the color guard leaves the field or the court?
Yep. So, Lee, we perform everything based on both U.S. flag code as well as Army regulation, drill and ceremony regulation. So for the spectators who are veterans, they'll know very well what to do. For the cadets, you'll see them doing something that's a little bit different. But for spectators who may not be veterans or familiar with flag code, when you see the colors march onto the field, usually from the right to the left, that's the point in time when you should remain silent. You can begin to remove your hat. You don't necessarily have to stand, you know, at what we call the position of attention with your right hand over your heart. But give the flag the respect that, you know, I think it deserves. And that flag represents not only the freedoms that we enjoy, but those who gave us those freedoms. So really, just kind of remaining silent as the flag moves from right to left. You will see the cadets then center themselves in whatever field we are playing on, whether it's basketball court, baseball field, or football field. And then normally we'll have a prompt, usually given by our announcer, that will ask people to stand, remove their hats, and place their right hand over their heart. That's the point in time where, Lee, for us, it's serious. It's, you know, it's game on. This is where the colors of the United States deserve the utmost respect. So at that time, that is the point where silence, reverence should be given. The colors will march into a center field or center court location. They will face the home team, of course, and then they will present, meaning you will see the state flag, the Army flag, and our battalion guidon. That's the small green or gray one that students rally to. You will see those dip in respect to the U.S. colors. Then the national anthem will play. That's 1 minute and 20 seconds of silence and remaining still, thinking about what that flag represents to you here in Hardinsburg, in Breck County, or wherever we happen to be with those colors. And it can be anything. It doesn't have to be veterans that you think of. It doesn't have to be past conflicts. It can be, you know, the way of life that you enjoy, the business that you enjoy, the freedoms that you have here. That's really all that it's about. Once that flag, once the anthem is complete, then you will normally hear the cadet commander of troops order arms. You'll hear that. And then that is the point in time when the flags will begin to move off, again, usually from the right to the left. And at that point is when you can go back to, you know, having a good time at the football game, having a good time at the basketball game. What we ask veterans to do, or current active duty service members, they'll know this. they should remain at the position of attention and follow that flag with their eyes until that flag is about six steps past them. Now, that's a judgment call, especially if you're 50 yards away on a football field. But just give that flag the respect that it deserves as it leaves that field, whether that's a field of battle, a field of competition, whatever it might be.
All right, Justin, I appreciate that, and I think hopefully that'll help some folks out as far as how to address the colors when they see them at football and then now at basketball games upcoming. Let's talk a little bit about the Raider Challenge. You mentioned that a little earlier. I believe that's coming up on Friday. Tell us about that.
So, Lee, this is the extracurricular that I think I'm most interested in this semester. It'll probably be a toss-up with the three-position rifle shooting next semester. But for this semester, the Raider Challenge is a both physical fitness, team-building, and mental challenge set of events. And what I mean by that is we run these students to the ground. Roughly about 9 miles of competition. All of that will be at least a trot, if not a run, through multiple obstacle or confidence courses. The difference between an obstacle course and a confidence course, the obstacle course just puts something in front of them that they have to get over, under, through 8-foot, 12-foot walls, culverts that they have to crawl through. And then the confidence courses apply some kind of decision-making as a team or a mental challenge. The one that I kind of like the most that we have in our obstacle course, which the maintenance crew here at the district has been awesome to build us in the last 2 months, is literally just stacking used tires, Lee. And you give them some guidelines. You say make them as tall as you can, or give a base and have at least six of those tires in a vertical, so a rolling position. And then you let them do it. And what's interesting about it is the cadets are completely winded. Their minds are not working. There's no oxygen to their brain because it's all going out through their body. And they have to figure out how to, one, solve the problem and work as a team at the same time. The most technical part of the Raider Challenge is a military mountaineering as well as rappelling event, which is called the construction of a one-rope bridge. 10 cadets have to construct a bridge over a water obstacle using climbing rope, static rope, and then get themselves across that rope in the shortest time possible. The neat thing about this is it's usually the last event that occurs when the cadets are the most tired, and they are really challenged with how much energy they then have to put into building this rope bridge. The more energy you put into building the rope bridge, the easier it is to cross. It doesn't sag, cadets don't run out of arm strength, and they will move themselves individually, carabinered in, either with a Swiss seat, a mountain climbing Swiss seat, or a harness, across this obstacle. Again, the maintenance team has done a great job here. They've given us a 100-foot wide one-rope bridge span. That is the longest that I think any high school, probably in Kentucky, might have. And the neat thing about it is over a low ground that will represent the conditions that we'll face at Fort Knox this weekend, where we'll attend the Raider Nationals, about 175 schools from across the country, Army, Marine Corps, Air Force, Navy, and Marine, I already said that, JROTC programs, will be at Fort Knox competing for the Raider National title. Five events that span those confidence courses and those obstacle courses. One of them is a 5K run where the team must finish within 10 yards of each other, so they have to do it as a team. And then a one-rope bridge that's going to span probably about a 70-foot section of the Salt River. And the Salt River this time of year is flowing well, and it's pretty chilly. So it should be a very good final event for them.
There's a lot to go over here, and we'd like to have you back at some other point down the road, talk a little more about what the JROTC is doing here. Got a couple of things I want to close with here. First off, first question is, in terms, of course, you're going to have adults, parents, guardians, students listening to it. What is the one thing you would hope that current cadets and future cadets who might be listening to this, what did make the one thing you hope they get out of this program were they to participate?
So, Lee, for me, it's two things. It's the sense of camaraderie, and I use that word very specifically, that the cadets have. Because we use about 200 years of military art and science to teach them leadership, any student can become a leader. Some people are born with leadership traits. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, we can teach leadership. We do it at places like West Point, the Air Force Academy, Officers Candidate School in the Army. We can teach leadership. So the camaraderie that students get as they learn these leadership traits is what I enjoy the most. You see a very diverse group of students. And when I say diverse, I'm talking about their education, their athleticism, maybe their socioeconomic status, but it doesn't matter. They come in here, they're given a standard, everybody is held to that same standard, and then they flourish. And the ones that don't flourish are usually the ones that have something to work through. That's the second thing that I would offer, is this program offers a lot of life skills that no other course in school will offer. The ability to problem solve, to really give you techniques to critically and creatively think. We ask them to do it, but we don't give them tools to do it. The military has those tools. We've had them for quite a long time. To make decisions, good decisions, where we take our biases out of it, we take our assumptions out of it, and we make decisions based on fact. So the diversity and that camaraderie are the two things that I think this program offers any student, regardless of where you're from or what aspirations you have.
And Justin, we're going to talk to a couple of students here in just a moment to get their perspectives. But for now, Justin, thanks for the time. Wish you all the best coming up this weekend at the Raider Nationals.
Thanks, Lee. Thanks for having us. I look forward to giving a report on how well we do in our very first national competition as Breckenridge County Tigers, the Tiger Battalion. And I think you're going to talk to both our battalion commander, Colonel Amelia Reed, and our battalion command sergeant major, Liam Clark, who, for the most part, two seniors who hold everything that this program does on their shoulders. They are responsible for everything that we do right and everything that we do wrong.
All right, then, and we will hear from those students coming up in just a moment as Inside Tiger Nation continues on this Wednesday afternoon here on 104.3 The River. Welcome back to Inside Tiger Nation on this Wednesday afternoon. Lee Bramlett joined now by two members of the Junior ROTC here at Breckenridge County High School. Take a second and introduce yourselves to everybody.
My name's Command Sergeant Major Liam Clark. I'm a cadet here. I'm a senior as well. I take part in the Raider and the Color Guard team.
And introduce yourself.
I'm Cadet Colonel Amelia Reed. I also take part in the Color Guard drill team and Raider team.
So talk a little bit about what attracted you to be part of the Junior ROTC program.
Coming in as a freshman, I didn't really have a set pathway on what I wanted to do, so I really just took it and ran with it because my mom made me. I tried to switch out of the class, like, first 2 weeks of school, but I'm really glad I stuck with it because I've had some of my best friends that I've met here.
Liam, same question. What brought you to the program?
When I first started out as a freshman, I planned on going through the military. I just thought this would be a really good opportunity for me to go ahead and get the knowledge I need.
All right, then, Emil, I'll come back to you. Talk about the Raider Nationals event that's coming up this weekend.
I think everybody's really excited, but we're all kind of just going in blind, not knowing what to expect. But I think we've prepared ourselves the best we could. So I'm excited to see how I do.
All right, I'll ask Liam. We've talked with you before for Fighting Tiger football. What do you feel? Is it a symbiotic relationship? Does football help you with this, or really does the JROTC help you in terms of football? Just talk about maybe the relationship and what do you get out of it that maybe helps the other part of this.
Yeah, both of them really correlate with each other, especially being the captain of the football team and then also being a leader in ROTC, learning these the leading skills that Major is teaching us and everything like that. They really just coincide with each other and just being able to move forward with both events.
All right, I'll make this the exit question for everybody. What is the one thing that you hope to take out of this experience that will take you to the next level, be it higher education or be it maybe service to our country? What's the one thing that you want to take the most out of this program?
Well, I feel like we've learned really well, like, life skills and how to deal with people when maybe it's not the easiest. So I think we've all learned, and I've just...
Very good. Then, same question. What do you hope to take out of the program?
Mine's the discipline that we learn here, whether that's discipline through being a leader or discipline being a follower. Things like just being able to learn, educate myself, and also take things personally. The discipline really helps with everything like that outside of school.
Very good. Then, Liam, Amelia, thank you very much for the time and wish you the best of luck here coming up this weekend. Inside Tiger Nation continues in just a moment here on 104.3 The River. Welcome back to Inside Tiger Nation on this Wednesday afternoon. Lee Brandlett joined again by Breckenridge County Fighting Tiger football coach Brent Hoddle. The Tigers advance into the Class 4A playoffs of the Commonwealth Gridiron Bowl with that win over Thomas Nelson. That secures the playoff berth, and they will take on one of the top teams of the state of Kentucky in Paducah Tillman. The Blue Tornado 10-0 on the season. The closest game I think they've been in all year was against another regional power in Mayfield. Brent, you've had a chance to look at them on tape. What is it that makes this team such the way they are?
Yeah, I mean, like you say, when you say they're one of the most talented teams, they're probably the most talented team I've played against since the Owensboro team with Gavin Wimsett that got beat in the state finals that year that we had to go to in the playoffs. Like I said, just overly talented. They've got, you know, the quarterback. They like to sling it. Quarterback's the James kid. He's a four-star, three-star recruit. He, you know, got D1 offers. Putting play, I think he's a senior, so this is his fourth year as a starter. I remember watching him as a freshman play in the state championship game 4 years ago. But, you know, that's what makes them tick. They want to throw. They're really, really fast. You know, they got three or four kids on the edge, you know, that are also high-level D1 caliber kids. And, you know, they're just supremely talented bunch of kids. They do things right. They're well-coached. And they're going to do what they do. That's what we talked about. You know, like, we're going to have to commit. You know, last week we put 9 guys in the box at times. This week we're going to be the opposite. We might only have 2 or 3 guys in the box because we've got to spread out with them and try to commit to having bodies out there to tackle in space, and that's definitely not going to be easy because they've got a ton of athletes. But like we told our kids, this is an opportunity. You know, you got a 10-0, you know, me and Coach Vincent from Edmondson were talking last week because they actually have to go to Mayfield themselves, Edmondson County does. So these are opportunities for our kids. You know, we don't play against teams like this. This will be the first time we've played against Tillman in my career. And, you know, they got these kids. They've got these guys you're going to see on Saturdays. Go measure up. And it's a 10. We've earned this ability. We've won that district game. We get to go play in this game because we earned it. And we're playing November football this year. That was our goal. You know, we don't care who we get a chance to play. We just wanted to play November football, and that was a goal our kids set forth. And they achieved that goal, you know. So we're going to do some things differently this week, offensively and defensively. But, you know, we're there, and our kids are excited about it.
I'll tell you first from the defense, since we've spent a lot of time talking about the Tillman offense, and rightly so, one of the top scoring teams, I believe, not only in 4A, but I believe in the state of Kentucky. From a defensive standpoint, how do you slow a team like that down when other teams, especially when you think of Logan County, Warren East, some decent teams, Mayfield, I think they put up 35 on Mayfield. How do you slow them down?
Well, it's like you said, it's not even so much as like stop them sometimes, that you have to try to, they have to try to stop themselves. And we're trying to go play a team like this. Like I said, we're going to drop 10 people sometimes in coverage and hope you can rally and tackle that guy. If you commit to having enough bodies in space, you know, rally to the football, put guys on the ground, you know, because that's, and they're quick strike, they're no huddle, they're going to get out of there, good to get out and go. So they try to up tempo you to death too, and to where you're not set. So you have to try to keep it pretty simple too defensively when you try to get a little too convoluted and a little too fancy on defense against them too. That gets you out of position, you're boom. So it's really got to play pretty simple and be willing to, you know, almost a lot of bend but don't break is the best you can try to do and try to make those teams make a mistake. And we've got a good plan. And like I said, our kids are excited. We've played up until the last couple of weeks here, you know, whenever Wyatt pulled out, we had some 2 or 3 other injuries and we've had to bounce people around. And, you know, even then you got people out there playing, you know, playing dinged up and trying to play through injuries. You know, we've played pretty solid defense. So we're excited about the opportunity. And like I said, our kids are – this is a chance to play against some guys that are going to play on Saturdays and a chance to compete.
In terms of – we talked a bit about our segment from the last segment, the frustrations with Edmondson County, and Mike and I brought this up during the broadcast. The guys did a great job of pursuit. They had Mills. They did a good job of lateral pursuit, but it was, again, it was at that point of attack where essentially where Mills would make his turn to go north and south that they couldn't get to. And, of course, that's something you can just get with the guys, maybe – change trajectory. How do you work a little bit on that? Because this is another team, you're going to have to go out and attack them in space.
Yeah, that's what we talk. It was angles. And that's what you watch film. We talk about it's just angles. Like, you know, you have your outside backer, you know, he's trying to set the edge. When the edge is set, he's got a guy here, and you might have your inside backer that's just 2 steps too far. And football is just such a different game than most that, you know, you don't, it's not like you can, you know, all right, this guy's a great basketball player. You know, you got 2 guys that can shoot it and they can beat anybody on a given night. You know, if you watch the film, we're out of shape by about 2 yards half the time, 2 steps, not even 2 yards half the time, 2 steps. Or, you know, our outside backer that's supposed to be setting the edge is just a hair inside and takes two of a vertical angle instead of a horizontal angle and just kind of bring him back in. So, you know, you're two steps this way, two steps that way. And unfortunately, that's something that you can teach, and our kids know that. We said that a billion times last week. But until you're out there enough, and with us having so many kids that are first, second year players that are out there, or like a kid like Quentin Reinhart, God love him, that, you know, he has to play D tackle sometimes. He has to slide and play D end. Then he plays linebacker. That's a lot to ask of a kid when you bounce him around that much. You know, he's a great kid. He flies around and makes a ton of tackles. But when you ask him to play so many different positions, it's just really hard. And, yeah, it was one step here or there. And, you know, that's what – it's a game of inches sometimes you hear with football. And if we're that much different last week, a couple other things offensively too, you know, that's a different ball game. Watts in the game. You know what I mean? That's what I say. So it's one of those things. It's not – we weren't that far off. It was just a step or two here and there. And unfortunately, when you get a kid like Mills, who's a stud that run for 1,500 yards this year, he can make you pay. And that's the same thing this week is they've got a guy, if you're this – that's what we kind of told him. If you're this far out, if you're one step too far up on a deep ball, Tillman's going to make you pay. So we have to just concentrate, play our job, not worry about the other 10. And if we can do that – we think we can do some things to slow them down a little bit.
From the offensive standpoint, of course, again, without Wyatt, that really hurts a lot of things you want to do. Is it a case there you just simply want to, for lack of a better term, slow the game? I don't know how you either slow it or speed it up. Basically, you want to play possession, try to keep the ball, because you know Tillman's going to put points on the board. Just simply try and limit the number of times they can put points on the board.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's one of the things, too. We got to simplify a little bit, too. Because there's only, like, you know, up front, they've got three kids. They play a 3-3 stack defensively. And, you know, they're only going to put six in the box because they think their six are faster than yours and they're super fast, they're athletic. And so we got to simplify a little bit. There's certain things our offensive line won't be able to do against their defensive front. So we're going to simplify a little bit. We're going to throw a few wrinkles at, I think, like Chase and put Lance at quarterback a little bit. And just kind of some different wrinkles that nobody's seen, put Ladarian in the backfield a little bit, some things they haven't seen a little bit. And like you said, it's almost a point where you're going to stay in the huddle, you're going to milk the clock as much as you can and try to limit how many times they get the ball. And a lot of times in football, we say taking the air out of it is what we want to do, taking the air out of the ball a little bit and kind of, you know, maintaining the clock, try to get three or four first downs in a row. And you know, that's going to take four, five, 6 minutes off the clock. We can get a few first downs strung together. And if we can do that and try to keep the game under control, you know, you never know what happens in the second half. But that's kind of our job. Like I said, Chase and Lance have done a good job this week of looking at some things, too. And this is some things in the future. You know, these guys are going to be the guys behind center there for us next year. So some things that they may be able to do next year as well. And just like I said, taking advantage of the opportunity.
A daunting mission, no doubt, but still, it's playoff football.
Yes, and, I mean, that's the goal. I mean, at schools like ours, you know, we want to have that opportunity. We know we're up against it. You know, we know this Paducah team is second or first in the state right now. You know, they're leading all these categories. Quarterback's thrown for 20 touchdowns, I think, the last 3 weeks. You know, and they're a really, really good football team, but they've got a great tradition, great atmosphere, something that we'd eventually like to have here. But it's one of those deals. Like I said, you get the chance to play. Our kids last year didn't get that chance to play, and they've earned that. You know, we're going to do it up. We're going to go. We have a charter bus. We're going to leave bright and early at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we're going down there, have some team activities. We're going to eat good pregame meal, and we're going to treat our kids to something they've earned. And that's what we did a few years back against Graves County. It was one of those things we knew it was a tough task, but you treat the kids because they've earned this opportunity. It's not something that just given to us. We didn't have four-team district. You know, we have a five-teamer, so we have to earn our way in. Okay, and I guarantee that's what I told the kids. Thomas Nelson would love to still be playing right now. They're done. And we get this chance. And our kids have had a great attitude this week. We've flown around. You know, we've had fun. We've embraced kind of the new changes we've made and some different things like that. And they're looking at it as an opportunity. You know, seniors get at least one more shot to be on a field. And our juniors and freshmen and sophomores get a taste of playoff football and, you know, how it feels to be out there. And we can kind of push forward on that as well. But, yeah, just excited. Like I said, this year we've moved it forward a little bit, and we want to kind of finish strong here.
Best of luck Friday night, and thanks as always for the time, Brent.
Thanks, guys.
Breckenridge County Fighting Tiger football coach Brent Hoddle with us on Inside Tiger Nation. We'll wrap up this week's show in just a moment here on 104.3 The River. Wrapping things up for this Wednesday afternoon, thanks again to all our guests. A reminder, Our next broadcast comes your way Friday evening from Paducah as the Fighting Tiger football team takes on the Blue Tornado of Paducah Tillman. Kickoff is at 6:30 Friday night. We'll be on the air with pregame coverage at around 6:15 here on 104.3 The River. Until next Wednesday afternoon at 5, you've been listening to Inside Tiger Nation on the sports voice of Breckenridge County, 104.3 The River, WXBC.